呀。
Hey there, it's Yehudit Steinberg here, and it's time for Think Grow Love Radio. We are here every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. on MutinyRadio.fm, live streaming from our studios in the Mission in San Francisco, California. We're listening to Beth Conan from her Ease My Worried Mind album to get started on this amazingly gorgeous day in San Francisco. It's almost 70 degrees in February. Sun's out, and last hour they were having the radio show outside on the patio. It was really cool. So here we go with Beth Conan, easing our mind as we'll slide into our meditation and relaxation to get us ready for 2 hours of jam-packed, wonderful stuff I have planned for you. Stay tuned.
meantime, I'm going to play some.
Wondering, do you ever think of me? You know I'm in love with you, darling, but you, I don't care enough in this world.
Where it's all about women coaches, freelancers, and creatives growing their businesses online while balancing their family and personal lifestyle. Hey everybody, Yehudit Steinberg here, and thank you so much for joining me here today for another episode of Think Grow Love Radio. If this is your first time listening, then for coming on. We're so happy to have you join us. What we do here is share information and stories to help you move past the fears and mindsets that have been holding you back from building an online business that is filled with passion, purpose, and profit. Think Grow Love Radio podcast is produced live every week from the MutinyRadio.fm studios in the heart of the San Francisco Mission District, All the information we share here on the broadcast can be found in our show notes located on our website, thinkgrowlove.com/podcast. Come back often and feel free to add our podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at thinkgrowlove. And join us in our Facebook group community and get all the latest updates on facebook.com/groups/thinkgrowlove. Now, let's get into today's show. Hey there, everybody. This is Yehudit Steinberg here. I'm back again for another great episode of Think, Grow, Love Radio. This hour is all about taking care of ourselves and giving ourselves permission to pamper ourselves, feed our body and soul with healthy activities, foster healthy thoughts, and take some time to care and be grateful for all we have in our lives. The first part of the show, we'll kick back and relax and focus on making the positive changes we want in our lives for now and for 2016. And in the second half of the show, I have a real treat for you. I dug into the annals of old-time radio and dug up an episode from the 1930s about an unsung heroine of the 1800s who not only paved the way for women's education, but also was instrumental in the holiday of Thanksgiving. I know you're going to love this show. One of our listeners said she just couldn't wait to hear this story because she had no idea what women's lifestyles, what their lives were like back in the 1800s. And she had no idea that women could not even go to school to learn math, science, or all the wonderful things that we study today as women. So stay tuned. That's coming up in this hour. Now in this segment, it's all about being open to making changes in our lives, making those changes that are going to help us bring about the life we really want to live, one filled with passion and purpose and a little profit to make our lives easy and sustainable. And we have a really great show. So during the next 15 minutes, we are just going to kick back and get relaxed. Take a little break. Whether you've been working for a couple hours or just ran some errands with the kids, now is a perfect time to take a break and kick back from, you know, our work and other duties that we have in the world and focus on growing our connection to our inner selves. It's the time to check in with ourselves and get a little refreshed. And for those of you that may be out and about and this isn't the perfect time for you, you can come to our new website that will be up on the 15th, and we'll have all these meditations up there on the site. That's thinkgrowlove.com, and you will be able to have a chance to listen to this meditation when you have time, when you can go in and close the door and the kids are asleep or the hubby's busy or whatever. So without any further ado, we are going to start this relaxation time. So I would suggest that you find a comfortable and quiet place where you are not going to be disturbed for the next 15 minutes. Turn off your ringers on your phones and tablets. Oh my, I don't think I did that on this iPad I have, which is connected to the phone, that would then start ringing. I don't understand how that all happens, but it does. So I'm actually going to do that myself. Just give me a moment here as I get that off, because I definitely don't want to be having it ringing while I'm in the middle of a broadcast. Yes, and the phone too. I'm going to turn that phone. I'll go into my settings. Oh my, what did we do without cell phones? So, there's the do not disturb setting. So, phone is on do not disturb. We're good. So, now that you've found a place that you can sit or lay down and be comfortable. We're going to start by focusing on our breath 10 times. So we're going to take a deep breath in. And out. Again. Deep breath in. And out. So as you take a deep breath in and love, and then as you breathe out, letting go of all the stress and worries of the day, this is your time for rest, relaxation, and rejuvenation. Keep breathing in. And out. Four. Another deep breath in. And out. Five. And out. Six. Breathe in. Out. Seven. Breath in. And out. Eight. Nine. Breathe in. This meditation, you are going to spend time exploring and visualizing a desired behavioral change to enhance your change process. Allow yourself to enjoy a moment of relaxation. For there is no place you need to be for the next few moments. Keep remembering to breathe in and out. In Now I invite you to picture yourself preparing to step into either a warm shower or bath. The water temperature is just perfect. Look at the steam coming off the water and hear the water splashing against the sides of the shower or the tub. Now, I invite you to jump into that picture and feel yourself stepping into that warm, relaxing water. Allow the warm water to relax the different parts of your body even further. Moving your attention from your head, neck, face. Feel where the tension is and just let it go. Through your body, through your shoulders, your arms, your hands, your fingers, and let that tension go. Through your body, down your legs, your feet. Just relax in that warm water. Now imagine that you are floating to a room that has 3 televisions. The first television show, you're behaving in a way that is not helpful to you and that you would like to change. Take a moment, see what comes up for you. The second show, you're learning and behaving in a way in which you want to behave in that television show. Take a moment and focus on what comes up for you in that second show where you are learning and behaving in a way that you want to be. And now let's focus on the third show. You are in the future, enjoying life in a different manner due to your new behavior. So we're going to move back now to the first screen, where it shows a behavior that you would like to change. After you acknowledge what behavior you would like to change, reach up and turn off this first screen. Now, let's turn on the second set. It shows you learning and behaving in a new and healthier ways. Once you have learned enough about this behavior, turn off the second set and pay attention to the third one. It shows you in the future enjoying life in a different manner because of your new behavior. As you see and hear this future movie, jump into the set and imagine being in this movie, feeling what it feels like to be successful in having changed yourself in a healthy and enjoyable way. Now, come out of the set and turn it off, and then spend a minute back in the warmth and security of the warm water. When you're ready, allow yourself to come back to the here and now, taking as much time as you like. Then stretch out and open your eyes, feeling awake and refreshed as if you have slept a full 8 hours. Well, how was that for you? Did that help you make yourself feel a little refreshed? I hope so. And just taking a moment to look at a behavior that you want to say goodbye to and bringing in one that you would like to in the future just starts to set a pattern, open up the doors for your conscious thought to consider it. So I hope that that worked for you. And I'd like to move into our next segment now, which I'm really excited about. So first, I'd like to mention that you are listening to Think Grow Love Radio with online entrepreneur Yehudit Steinberg, and we are broadcasting live from the Mutiny Radio studio in the Mission District of San Francisco, California, and we are live streaming on mutinyradio.fm. So lately I've been rooting around in the old time radio archives for interesting shows for women that were on the air in the 1930s and 40s to see what they were about and how it might relate to our lives today in 2016. I might add that it's a bit of a challenge because a lot of the old shows that were specifically for women didn't really get the same amount of consideration, so they're harder to find those episodes. That's what I'm finding. So there are a few reasons why I thought these shows might be of interest to you. During that time period, there wasn't any TV. Movies were fairly new, just 20 years old or so, and audio was the only way that families heard updated news in their homes and were entertained. Friends and families gathered round the radio and listened to the shows in the evening and women shows in the afternoon while she was doing housework and making dinner. There are some techniques for audio that are different for video, and I wanted to hear how they were put together, and I thought you might, you know, some of you out there might be interested in hearing that as well. The second reason is I thought maybe there are some old shows that could teach us something about life back in the 30s and 40s. And I found this show about Sarah Hale, the editor of Godey's Ladies' Book, which was published from the beginning of the 1800s until the late 1800s. And so more about that in a moment. We just had a primary last night where Hillary Clinton is running for president of the United States. She's a woman. She didn't do too well last night, unfortunately, in New Hampshire, but fortunately, depending on who you are rooting for, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. But the fact is that Hillary is a woman and she's running for president, and we really haven't had a woman president in the United States yet, but the possibility is there in 2016. Definitely wasn't there in the 1930s and 40s, and certainly not in the 1800s, as you're going to hear as I move into this little episode about Sarah Hale. So it really was not that long ago that women couldn't vote. It was just about 100 years ago, couldn't vote in the U.S. And just a little bit earlier than that, can you really believe it? Women couldn't even go to school to learn hard sciences. They could only learn domestic skills like cleaning, cooking, and taking care of the families. I thought it would be appropriate to play this episode for you to show you how far women have come in the past 200 years in the United States of America, and we may even have a woman president, as I just mentioned. I'm going to play for you an old-time radio show that's called Cavalcade of America, and the beginning part of it is very vintage, I guess I could say, and it was aired on November 24th, 1937. This is the story of Sarah Josepha Hale, an inspirational woman and famous editor of Godey's Ladies' Book, and an ardent advocate of feminine education whose memories live in the welfare and opportunities of women today. She is also credited with being responsible for making Thanksgiving Day a national holiday, and they will talk about that in the show too. And so now on with the show. My computer decided to go to sleep, so we gotta wake it up. Okay, so I pushed it a little bit forward, but we'll see where we go with this. All right. Here we go.
Geology, Sarah, and mineralogy, whatever that is. Is it really true? that you and David study every evening?
We've studied almost every evening since first we've been married. It's been a rare experience for me, you may be sure.
Rare experience? I should think so. And what a waste of time. What are you going to do with all that education now that you have it?
I still feel that I have very little. But David is very patient with me. Oh, if I could only have gone to college with my brother.
College? A woman at college? Sarah, aren't you afraid he'll find you unwomanly if you go on with this studying? Men don't like intellectual women. Really, they don't. Oh, Sarah, it'd be too terrible if you lost his love.
If I lost his love, it would be through lack of intelligence, my dear, not because of it. And I don't believe David finds me unwomanly.
But with your mind full of things like that, how can you be domestic?
I have 4 children, Mary, and soon there'll be a 5th. My home is well managed, my husband happy. That's enough domesticity for any woman.
Does David think so?
David wants me to study. I should never have gone on trying to write without him.
I tell you, Sarah, you're making a mistake. People are kind about your eccentricity, but in their hearts, everyone disapproves. It's vulgar for women to try to be intelligent as men are. And you, well, you're 34 years old, well past middle age. It's time you settled down and paid more attention to convention.
It's too late now, Mary. The harm is done. David and I both love it. Nothing on earth would persuade me to give up my evenings of reading with him.
Well, I've had my say. I must be going.
What's that?
Someone came in the front door.
I didn't hear the knocker. I'll go.
Sarah?
Oh, David, you frightened me. You're home early, aren't you?
Yes, I'm not feeling very well.
Oh, my dear, your cold is worse. Take off your coat, darling.
Oh, I'll be all right now that I'm home. Thank you, Sarah. Oh, good evening, Mary. Don't let me frighten you away.
I was just going. David, you look as though you were burning up with a fever. Have you seen a doctor?
No, I was going to stop and see Dr. Harrison, but I felt a little lightheaded, so I decided to come right home.
Well, I'm going to stop on my way to town and send him up.
Oh, why, he'll think this is a judgment on me because I sleep with my bedroom windows open. He doesn't approve of foul night air, you know.
Neither does anyone else with common sense. The idea. Don't bother to come to the door. I'll stop in tomorrow and see how your patient's getting along. Try red flannel. It's the best thing for that throat. Good night.
Good night,
good
ma'am.
Good night, and thank you. Dearest, will you go right up to bed?
Let me rest here by the fire a little while first. It's good to be home.
Mm. The day doesn't really begin until you get here. Put your head on my shoulder. There. Mary's just been lecturing me about my scholastic attainments. She's afraid I'll lose you if I become too much of a blue stocking.
Oh. Well, I hope you assured Mistress Mary that I think you have a fine mind and see no reason why you shouldn't use it.
My darling, I still marvel that you feel that way. I'm very fortunate. David, do you suppose the day will ever come when all women will have opportunities for education?
Well, most women don't want them. When they do, they'll have them.
Oh, David, it isn't as easy as that. They need encouragement. I would never have gone on without you. Oh, David, life without you would... I couldn't go on living.
Why, of course you could. You've got the children, you know, and you're writing. Well, you could have a career.
A career? Anyhow, it won't matter without you.
But you wouldn't be without me, darling.
We can never really lose one another, can we?
We never lose the things we've had, Sarah. I go right on being proud of you. You'd always remember the... Don't look like that. I'm not going to die, dearest. I've just got a cold in my head. We'll work tonight as usual. You can read to me, and I'll lie here.
David. David, what is it?
I've got a queer pain here. In my chest.
Oh, my dear.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'd better go to bed after all.
Within a few days, David Hale died of pneumonia. 2 weeks later, Sarah's fifth child was born. Her great desire was to educate her family, but for 6 years they could only struggle along in poverty. Then Mrs. Hale went to Boston to establish Ladies Magazine, one of the first periodicals exclusively for women to be published in America. She was so successful that Louis Antoine Cody, starting his famous magazine called The Book in Philadelphia a few years later, determined to have her services. He finally secured them only by buying the magazine and combining the two publications. In the office of Godey's Ladies Book in September 1840, Mr. Godey has just come in to offer his congratulations to Sarah for her work in stimulating interest in a recent public subscription drive.
It is magnificent, Mrs. Hale, simply magnificent. $30,000 toward the Bunker Hill Monument Fund and every cent of it raised by women. I congratulate you. I do congratulate you.
It was the first national organization of women in America, but it will not be the last. I always believed that it could be made an instrument for good. I'm happy to have had this opportunity to prove it.
And prove it so sensibly, my dear lady editor. Never antagonizing men, never encouraging women to advance beyond their proper sphere or encroach upon masculine prerogatives.
We offered our assistance as helpers only. The efforts of women should never degrade the characters of men.
Your success greatly enhances the prestige of Godey's Ladies' Book.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think the time has come for Godey's Ladies' Book to capitalize on its reputation and take a more aggressive stand.
Aggressive? I don't understand.
We are an institution. We should lay down definite editorial principles and then support them. Conditions in our country, especially among women, are deplorable. We should expose them. We should point out needed reforms and organize to bring them about.
Oh, come, Mrs. Hale, we can't antagonize our public.
We shan't antagonize them. We will enlist their aid.
We'll be branded as reformers. It's impossible. Men will forbid their wives to read our magazine.
Not if we direct our appeal to the men themselves. Men like you, Mr. Godey, who have vision and understanding.
Yes, I appreciate that point of view.
If you advance the welfare of women, you advance the welfare of the race, Mr. Godey.
That's a good general theory, but specifically...
Specifically, there are certain fields of activity which women are particularly fitted to occupy. Most of them denied to her, for two reasons. Lack of education and prejudice.
And what are those fields?
Well, we should have women teachers in our primary schools, Mr. Godey. It's a woman's province to instruct little children. Education shall be our great crusade, especially education for women.
College?
Mr. Godey, don't you think that the day will come when a woman will no longer be a female, but an individual? An educated womanhood can work miracles in America. Always the efforts of you men.
This is a magazine for the home, Mrs. Hale. We must emphasize the interest within the home, not in the world outside. You must not belittle woman's real occupation.
I'm not belittling it, Mr. Godey. We'll give homemaking the dignity of a profession. We'll make a science of it. We'll call it domestic science.
Mrs. Hale, I have the greatest confidence in your judgment. But didn't we start this as a fashion magazine?
We'll have fashion, but we'll have all the rest besides. We have fine authors, Mr. Godey. Edgar Allan Poe, Washington Irving, Ralph Waldo Emerson, James Russell Lowell. No other magazine has such a list. But we must stand for more, much more than mere entertainment. Our magazine must be a force for the advancement of American women.
And so for 40 years, Sarah Hale directed the destinies of Godey's Ladies Book. One of Mrs. Hale's great desires was her plan to make Thanksgiving Day, then observed individually by some of the states, a national holiday. One day in 1863, there arrived at the White House in Washington a slender, black-clad figure.
The president is expecting you, Mrs. Hale. Will you come this way?
This is Sarah Josepha Hale.
How do you do, Mrs. Hale? Won't you sit here?
Thank you, Mr. President.
You've had a tiresome journey. I wish I might have welcomed you at the White House at a happier time.
I shouldn't have thought of imposing upon your indulgence now, Mr. President. If I were not convinced of the tremendous importance of the cause I've come to plead. And your letters encouraged me.
I found our correspondence very interesting. Major General Hunter has developed the subject even further. Let me see. He's a relative of yours, is he not?
His younger brother married my daughter.
He's a good friend of mine. We've often spoken of your work. The influence Godey's book wields is amazing, Mrs. Hale. You've made it an American institution.
You've tried to make our policy constructive. Sometimes it takes a long while.
As in the case of the National Thanksgiving Day you've come to discuss with me?
I've only been actively campaigning for it in Godey's book for 17 years. But my interest in Thanksgiving Day goes back far beyond that.
I seem to remember that in one of your first books, Northwood, you gave a whole chapter just to a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes. Yes, I did, Mr. President. The sentimental value of the day seems very important to me.
It's being observed very generally, Mrs. Hale.
I realize that, Mr. President. But every state, every community even, is observing it independently. Think what it would mean, Mr. President, if 23 million Americans could in their hearts give thanks at the same time for the blessings we've received.
You think the people could be stirred to a sense of thankfulness even in these times?
Yes. Yes, I do, Mr. President. I still believe a nationalized Thanksgiving might have been a great factor in averting this disunion. There's no greater bond than rejoicing together over a common good. And America has so much to be thankful for.
You realize that such a national proclamation will have certain opposition.
A national Thanksgiving would be a renewed pledge of love and loyalty, Mr. President. If only all the states would join, would lay down their arms and forget their hate and their bitterness for one day.
If they only would.
Oh, Mr. President, is it not worth trying? It might point a path to peace.
We shall see.
Mr. President, do you mean...
I mean that Sarah Josepha Hale and her Godey's Ladies book have succeeded in one more campaign. Mrs. Hale, you have convinced me. I shall issue a national Thanksgiving proclamation.
And so Sarah Josepha Hale, with Lincoln's help, gave us National Thanksgiving Day. Godey's continued to point out to its 150,000 subscribers that knowledge was power, and power which should be given to women as well as to men. The lady editor toiled unceasingly, but she found time to write other books and poems as well. She published Woman's Record, an amazing survey of women's work until 1850. She fulfilled her great desire to educate her children. For the remainder of her life, she labored for the advancement of American women. Mrs. Hale was 90 years old when Godey's Ladies' book was sold. In the Hunter home, where we find her living with her daughter and her grandchildren, her family gathers about her on Sunday evening.
Another one?
No, Grandmother will be in a moment.
Where is she?
she?
She stopped to tell Hannah Murray what a fine supper it was.
Perhaps she'll read a story to us.
I'd rather she recited Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Well, you know that by heart. What do you want to hear it again for?
Because she wrote it and it's my favorite poem.
Maybe she has something new to read to us.
She may be a little sad tonight. Perhaps she won't feel like reading.
Because of the book being sold, you mean?
Yes.
It'll seem strange not to go to the office for her anymore, after all these years.
Why isn't she going to edit the book anymore?
Well, she's 90 years old, dear.
She isn't old.
Oh, no, darling. By that time, one deserves a rest.
But her hair isn't even gray. Her curls are as brown as mine.
Yes, and her eyes are just as bright.
What's this you're saying about
me? Oh, sit here, Grandma.
Thank you, child.
Why, the children were saying that you were one person who would never grow old, Mother. We all agreed.
I wrote a poem about that once. It was the day I was 70. People tried to make me feel I was old even then. But I've had 20 more rich, full years.
Tell us the poem, Grandmother.
It was called Growing Old. It went this way. Growing old, growing old. Can it ever be true? While joy for life's blessing is thankful and warm, and hopes sown for others are blooming anew, and the rainbow of promise bends over the storm.
That's nice. Hopes sown for others. Remember that, dear.
What does it mean?
Oh, it's a sort of charm. Something to help us to be thoughtful of others.
Do all your poems have charms in them? That's what you said about Mary Had a Little Lamb.
What did I say, dear?
You said the last part was a charm to make animals love you. Don't you remember the verse about what makes the lamb love Mary so, the eager children cry? Oh, Mary loves the lamb, you know, the teacher did reply. And you each gentle animal in confidence may bind and make them follow at your call if you are only kind. I like that charm best.
Yes, it's a little more suited to your needs right now, my dear. It'll be a long while before you appreciate the other one.
Come, baby, I see Nurse looking for you.
I've got to go now. Kiss me good night.
Good night, my darling.
We must all be off and give you a little quiet before bedtime.
Yes.
Good night, Grandmother.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
Grandmother.
Good night. Good night, my dears. Good night.
Anything for Richard to do tonight, Mother?
I finished my farewell editorial yesterday. He may take it into the office in the morning. The lady editor of Godet's book has penned her last official line.
Now, Mother, you must not grieve.
Why would I grieve? Many tasks once lay before me. Now, they're finished.
You've done so much.
I've accomplished most of the desires nearest my heart. Frances?
What is it, Mother?
I've not often spoken of your father, have I?
Not very frequently.
To dwell on David's virtues always made me fear to be thought vain. But for 56 years, he's never been absent from my thoughts. 56 years. It's been a long time.
You've been so wonderful, dear. How proud he would have been of you.
Proud? David? Yes. There. I'm too old to have my head turned now, Frances. Where are my books and papers?
Here they are, dear. Now, don't read too long. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I'll look in again on you before you go to bed. Good night, dear.
Good night, my dear. David. Dear David, I know you are pleased.
Little more than year later, April 30th, 1879, Sarah slipped away to join David, leaving behind her, in her own words, half a century of work for the furtherance of the happiness and usefulness of her countrywomen. Work which has resulted in the diversified employment of over one-fifth of the women of the United States today. An ideal which has seen fulfillment in the nationalization of our Thanksgiving Day celebration. DuPont salutes Sarah Josepha Hale as an inspiring figure in the cavalcade of America.
You've just been listening to the Cavalcade of America radio show on Sarah Josepha Hale, who I want to mention that I found the entire archives of the Godey magazine. It is online, and you can see with pictures and stories, and all of you history buffs and looking at vintage fashion, you might find that interesting. And so I have a link for that in our show notes for today on our website. And the website is scheduled to launch on Monday, February 15th. And the name of the site is Think Grow Love Radio, thinkgrowlove.com. And you would go to the podcast, and this is episode number 6. And in the show notes, you can find a link to that website and let me mention to you all the different links and sites and things that I mentioned during the show can be found on our website at thinkgrowlove.com/podcast in our notes. So this is going to segue with a little bit of music into our next hour. And the next hour is our FemPower Business Hour. So we just finished hearing Sarah Josepha Hale say knowledge is power, and all the work she did to really educate and get women into schools and learning in the 1800s. And here we are today in 2015. And this next hour is called the FemPower Business Hour. And today our topic is get visible, become a sought after expert on podcasts, and how you can get interviewed on a podcast, and that is one of the hottest marketing tools of today. So we'll hear a little bit from Beth Conan, and I'm going to put that on, reach over and put that on now.